for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to this week's brand new show, Shiny Shout Out.
In this week's very tightly packed and informative show, Laura looks at the year so far for Kiki.
We look at gender.
The latest JLU podcast talking bisexuality and the impact on Gareth Thomas by the press.
Right here on BCFM in the studios across Bristol. In the studios across Bristol. I mean, in the studios in Bristol. Never mind.
Well done.
So, hello.
Yeah, you performed better this week than last week.
I know, yeah. I'm not saying a thing.
No.
So, hello, okay. Terry.
Good evening, Andy.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
So, and welcome back, other Andy.
Hello, everyone.
So, with a nice Berlin tan.
Yes. That one had to get a little bit while we were away.
Mm. I bet.
Terry, lower the tone as always, why don't you?
So. Hey, we're going to be a fast-track city for HIV. This means by 2030 we will have zero new HIV infections. Which is absolutely brilliant. Now, there is an event coming up, which is on Eventbrite, public consultation event on HIV in Bristol. You can go on to fasttrackcitiesconsultation.eventbrite.co.uk. We need Bristol to tell us their views on how we can improve HIV testing, what we can do to end HIV-related stigma, and how we can improve quality of life for people living with HIV. It's two sessions, Tuesday the 22nd of October, Hamilton House. Lunch is included from 12:30 to 3, and from 5:45 until 8 p.m, refreshments and snacks are included. We will be mentioning that, of course. Alad will be popping in, and we'll be having the Brigstow 5, which will have all the information on that.
Excellent. That's a really good initiative.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's been all over the press this week. I think we'll be talking about it a little bit later, but of course.
Yeah, for Gareth.
Gareth Thomas.
Yeah.
Very,
very, very sadly. He was kind of forced to kind of come out with it, wasn't he, from what I read?
Indeed.
Which is really not nice at all. So.
Shocking behaviour from the tabloid newspapers. Some things don't change.
I was about to say, no, they don't, do they? So anyway, I believe we're catching up with Kiki next.
Yeah, we've got a My Five in between their podcast, which is usually the first Thursday of the month. This is Laura looking back at their year so far.
The Outshout My Five on Shoutout Radio.
Hi, it's your girl Lara, and this week I'm going to be talking to you about Kiki, of course, and everything we've been doing this year and the fun that we've been having. I really want to just share with you a bit of a review so you know what's coming up and you know where we've been. So this year we've received two awards from the Bristol Diversity Award and the Bristol Pride Award, both of which we're so excited and amazed that we received. We've loved the support that we've got throughout Bristol, and we'd like to thank you and everyone who has supported us, including BCFM, Briscoe, Booty Base, all the organisations that have really lifted us up and given us the life and the love that we needed to keep going. We'd like to thank you. We've been joined this year by Hidayah, and Hidayah is an LGBT plus group who really support and uplift and really provide love to people who are Muslim and LGBT plus. Their next meeting is on the 28th of September at 3 p.m. Please see our Facebook for more information. But again, like, if you are thinking about going, it's a really great people who will support you as much as they can. We've also, like I said, partnered this year with Briscoe and Booty Base. Now, Booty Base are an amazing collective of women and non-binary people who have amazing music taste and have made me shake my ass more than once. And we love them. And so we have partnered with them to bring our nights out. And so if you're looking for a good night out, you want to be shaking your ass to any kind of or all kinds of music, definitely come to our next one, in the next month or so. So for our more chilled events, we've been really partnering with the Bristol Ballroom community, who have provided us with workshops where you can vogue the house down. And I've absolutely loved it. It's been fun. It's been full of laughter. And it's so much more of a chilled environment. So if you're looking for some kind of event like that, where you want to vogue or learn how to vogue, a bit like Madonna, but definitely more like Paris is Burning, please come to the Bristol Ballroom community and our nights. So anyway, moving on. We've also led a panel with Interculture, which was about racism within the LGBT community and homophobia in the Black community. And this was really important for us because we needed to, again, it's important. Our mission is to highlight the problems and the things that we face within our communities in order to improve them. And Interculture provided us the platform to do this. We loved the day. It was a great panel event and lots of things came out of it, such as the fact that allies are amazing. They've been doing amazing work for us, but it's an active role. So it's one of those things that you need to keep doing and providing for people who are minority groups within your community, which I'm sure many people are doing at the moment, but there needs to be more. So one of my absolute highlights of this year was Bristol Pride. Yes, brought to you by various organisations, well drilled by Darren. We led the parade. I was so proud. We were all proud. We loved it. And it was a really good opportunity to show that Kiki have come so, so, so far from where we started. And we've got so, so, so far to go. So we loved leading the parade. And we also loved putting on the night out afterwards. It's the most important thing for us to show that we're here, we're queer, and get used to it. And we're also cutie pock. So that was one of my favorite highlights. Also, dancing with some of the most beautiful Black women, again, was my highlight. So if you're looking for something like that, definitely come to our Pride next year, where it will be bigger and badder and better. So another thing that we like to put on is film nights, because we know people love a variety of different nights. And the last one we had was about a voguing documentary, which we loved because it really showed the different sides of our community and our history, which is important to know. Especially if you watch Pose, you're more open to the idea. So definitely, if you want to see more documentary like that, hit us up. We're looking for a more variety of films. If you're a filmmaker, again, get in touch with us. We're looking to provide more of a platform for BME filmmakers, so definitely come see us. And another highlight, just to finish off, was Cardiff Bane Pride. Glitter were amazing. They provided a beautiful platform for a number of BME performers, and it was incredible. So if you're in Cardiff, hey, and I hope that next time you go to the BME Pride by Glitter, because it has been an amazing part of our year, and we were part of the panel as well. So yeah, that was another highlight. And last but not least, it was Juve night at Carnival at the Arnolfini. That was, again, the most exhausting night I've ever had, but full of laughter, full of dancing. So if you love Kiki, keep supporting us. And if you've never been to Kiki before and you identify as Kiki Pop, definitely hit us up. We love you, and thank you for everything you've given us. Bye!
You've been listening to the Outshout My Five.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Nice bit of Beyonce there. severe lack of halos in this room, I think.
Oh, that's harsh.
Little horn.
Can you stop looking at me, please, Andy? So off-putting.
I wasn't going to say a thing.
Who did the other version? Because there was two versions
of
that track. There was two versions come out exactly the same time, and they sounded exactly alike.
No idea.
Somebody, I
don't know.
Was it just a remix?
What
it wasn't
fail.
You with a dance remix or something?
No.
Well, there was Sierra and Beyonce did Like a Boy. Just Like a Boy.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Why not?
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 19th of September.
The other week, we reported on a new clutch of online radio services from the Bauer Media Group. Now, the Heart Network has risen to the challenge by launching two new services that might just push feel-good buttons for LGBT listeners. Heart 70s will play iconic acts from the decade of gay liberation, disco music and outlandish clothes, such as ABBA, Earth, Wind & Fire and Chic. Meanwhile, Heart 90s will be broadcasting the music of the 90s, a decade in which LGBT liberation came of age, the AIDS crisis went into partial abeyance, and the commercial gay scene exploded in the major cities with new superclubs replacing the traditional gay bar. Both these new stations are available on the Digital One transmitter network nationally, so you should be able to tune your DAB radio sets anywhere across the UK.
Liverpool's alternative and LGBT bookstore News From Nowhere has had an electronic makeover for the autumn months. The shop, which is the city's longest-running bookstore, specialises in politics, literature, LGBT and alternative spirituality, including Buddhism, paganism and New Age beliefs. It has a strong gay and trans following. News From Nowhere has survived where some other independent bookstores have not, by embracing new technology. It has a strong mail order service and its friendly and knowledgeable staff have allowed it to compete on its own terms with major players such as Waterstones. The new website is clearer, more mobile friendly, and is easier to browse for your favourite titles. As well as those subject areas that the shop specialises in, the staff can also order in for you nearly any book published in Britain or the United States. So it might just be great for students looking for those rare academic texts coming this season.
And on that note, the students are gradually returning to Bristol as the two universities and other colleges gear up for a new academic session. Bristolians have always had a mixed relationship with the student presence in the city, but it cannot be denied that students have had a profound beneficial effect on the social and economic life of Bristol, bringing in millions of pounds of trade and also bringing exciting, vigorous and fresh ideas to the region. For those young people and of course, mature students coming to the city, may we offer a warm welcome to one of the most vibrant parts of the United Kingdom. Bristol and the West Country is a beautiful part of the world, and indeed many people who study in these parts stay on and make a home here after they finish their courses. If you are starting to study, then you might like to know that both Bristol University and the University of the West of England have very active LGBTQ societies. We have worked very closely with both of them in the past. Bristol University has a regular independent newspaper called Epigram and an online radio service called Burst. At UE, there is a campus radio station available on 1449 medium wave on DAB and online. And of course, students are more than welcome to get involved in the city's many community radio stations and services, such as our home station, BCFM, Radio Ujima, Bradley Stoke Radio and Nudes Radio, amongst others. Keep tuned for the best entertainment and be sure to make use of your local LGBTQ societies.
The Youth Climate Strike, which is coordinated by the Extinction Rebellion Group, but which also involves dozens of other green and social justice campaign groups, takes place tomorrow, Friday the 20th September. Many school children are scheduled to take the day off of lessons to protest government inaction on climate issues, and their planned actions have earned the support of many trade unions and mainstream organisations, including some left-leaning LGBTQ groups. Speaking with the current issue of Attitude magazine, which is now in newsagents, HIV activist and educator Matthew Hodson speaks on the necessity for LGBT people to join forces with environmental campaigns. As without environmental stability, anything else is, in his words, rearranging the furnishings on a sinking ship. In the same issue of the popular gay magazine, left-wing journalist and Guardian columnist Owen Jones warns the gay community that it must unite with anti-fascist and anti-racist campaigns to fight the menace of the far-right wing across Europe.
South London's famous community channel Radio Jackie reports that there is a new initiative to promote HIV services in the London borough of Richmond. People are being encouraged to test and are reassured that there are lots of treatment options available in the event of an HIV positive result.
The pagan radio station Wildwood Radio reminds us that LGBTQ pagans will be marking the autumn equinox this weekend. We will enter the dark half of the year when nights are longer than days. It is a time of plenty as we reap the fruits of the land and also prepare for the autumn and winter to come. This time of year is also special for LGBT Christians who will be marking the traditional harvest festivals. Glastonbury's pagan bookstore, The Goddess and the Green Man, notes Mabon is a celebration and also a time of rest after the labour of harvest. In terms of life path, it is the moment of reaping what you have sown, time to look at the hopes and aspirations of Imbolc and Astara and reflect on how they have manifested. It is a time to complete projects, to clear out and let go that which is no longer wanted or needed, as we prepare for descent so that the winter can offer a time for reflection and peace. And it is a time to plant seeds of new ideas and hopes which will lie dormant but nourished in the dark until the return of spring. We wish you a pleasant and fruitful harvest and the best of autumn wishes to come. Next stop is that most gay of festivals, Halloween, on October 31st.
I can't wait. And for these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
So that's a bit funky for us, isn't it? Is that one of your favourites? Hello.
That's not Beautiful People. That's another track coming up later.
This one's just called Beautiful. I say Beautiful People? Yeah. I thought I said Beautiful. Oh, sorry.
That's a track.
That'd be your fault. You put two tracks next to each other most of the time with Beautiful.
Well, I thought it matched what the subject matter was going to be.
Yeah, true. Oh,
you know,
good.
Whatever gender you are,
yeah.
You're beautiful.
You are beautiful.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah. Hello, Hans.
Love you too.
Hello, beautiful.
You're beautiful too.
Hello, beautiful people.
So, talking to beautiful.
And Andy.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you.
I'm all right. So it's nice to have you back in our nice cool studio. So
yeah, it's all new.
So yeah, we've moved. If we sound a little bit different, it's because we've moved the studio here at BCFM upstairs. We still are in our studio 2 technically. Our studio 1 is due to be rebuilt at some point. But it's nice. We've got view. I don't think in all the years I've been broadcasting with BCFM we've had windows we can look out of.
You just need fans now, don't you? Screaming and shouting.
It's only temporary. It needs some sound deadening, doesn't it? It needs decorating. It needs the gay effect.
It's great.
I did it last time. I was there spraying and sticking
tiles on the wall. Yeah. So it all happens. So.
We could surround the studio in flags, couldn't we?
Gay flag, LGBT flag, rainbow tiles. Yeah. I think.
I'm sure. Between us all, we have enough rainbow flags to deaden a bit of sound in this room.
Absolutely.
So anyway, now this feature we're actually talking to you, aren't we, Hans? And this is all led from the recent revelation by Sam Smith, isn't it? Do you want to give us a bit of background behind what he's just announced? Or I should say they, I suppose.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a really good
that's
way
exactly
to sort of...
It.
Yeah, that is exactly it. So Sam Smith has chosen to speak openly about the fact that they identify as non-binary. And alongside that, there's going to be a few other things that we're going to be discussing. And it kind of comes off the back of the BBC... discussing the 100 genders and that
which
conversation.
Which I knew nothing about. Despite all the years doing
the BBC supply schools with educational films and radio items.
Right.
And this particular one was about LGBTQ, and they went on to gender and they mentioned the fact that there's over 100 genders. Of course, you can imagine the normalcy press went ape over this, and how dare you?
Yeah, and we know it's wrong, but the traditional thought is there's just the two, isn't there? And we know from some of the history things that we've done with, like Ella, for example, it's never actually been two, has it?
Never. Well, that's trans trend for you. Yeah. They publish information into schools that just say declare there's only the binary, and it's just disgusting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's actually 100, and I had genuinely never heard of half of them.
But it wasn't it going off on a slight tangent? Wasn't it before Christianity? Yeah. The people were quite open to multiple genders. People like the Native American Indians who had like two spirit.
The Native Americans talked about there being, well, not talked about, they lived within the belief that there are five genders. So they stated there was female, male, two-spirit female, two-spirit male, and transgender. And all of those people, actually especially transgendered and two-spirit people, were seen as incredibly important members of their group.
They were revered.
They were revered,
As and a often, gift from the gods.
Yes.
And isn't it the same kind of thing over in India as well, that there's a belief of the third gender?
Well, they've got the Harari, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm. Is it Harari? Which is good.
Hedra.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's not a new concept because it's something that does just exist.
Us.
It's not an invention. It's not a contagion, as Mr.
So
Morgan said.
We're just really westernised. That's the problem.
Yeah, very westernised.
Well, it's also interesting. I mean, even the colours we associate, like we quite often associate blue with boys and pink with girls, if you go really traditional. But there was a time before the Victorian era where it was the other way around, and it was pink for boys and it was blue for girls.
And dresses for boys. Did you just say that?
Yeah. And heels. And heels
yes.
were designed for men. They weren't for women.
Mm. Yeah, and you are seeing more people like Noel Fielding, Russell Brand, Harry Styles, those sorts of people, gentlemen, are dressing in what would be sort of perceived as more feminine clothing, non-binary clothing.
So obviously what the aim is to kind of put the info out there with Shout Out, and it is something that a lot of people don't always understand or I've never, you know, had it explained to them, etc. How would we describe someone who is non-binary then, seeing as that's where we're starting with Sam Smith?
I think, well, Sam Smith has stated that they want to be called they, them, and released quite a heartfelt statement in regards to how they were feeling and how long they've been feeling like that. And I really felt for them because of somebody who also identifies as non-binary, and having the words now to be able to express that to others and know that that is who I am. I feel like, you know,
but it means you don't identify as male or female.
Yeah, that's
it?
What it means. So it means that you don't feel male or female, and therefore you don't identify as male or female. But I think what it's about is just asking people, just having a really open-minded, genuine conversation. How do you want me to, you know, to address you? And people generally that I've been speaking with will answer. So they are they them.
Yep. And also going on from that, moving on from Sam, we had the Seahorse programme that was shown on the BBC, mm-hmm. which had quite a lot of discussion after the event, both for pro and against. So if you could tell us a bit of background on that, Hans.
Yeah, well, one of the opening sort of, I don't know what you call it, but like a tagline for one of the news articles was "Seahorse, the dad who gave birth, an unflinchingly honest film that doesn't sugarcoat its subject," and that's exactly what it was. So it's about a trans man who decided they wanted to have a baby and wanted to do that on their own. So as a man living as a man, but also being a trans man, he had a lot of obstacles to overcome. And one of those was societal sort of perception and his concerns about how he would be treated, you know, walking down the street looking masculine and being pregnant was obviously a worry. He had incredible support from his mum, who was there throughout the entire process, and including the birth. And the hospital staff and everybody that was involved appeared to be very understanding and supportive. But it's just a very interesting sort of conversation. The conversation that's come from this, you know, on Twitter especially, I've not really seen a middle ground. It's either been incredibly positive and people just full of admiration and love and you know, calling him things like brave. And the flip side has been incredibly hurtful. And quite aggressive statements stating that, you know, it's wrong.
The problem is that we don't seem to have a society that says, I'm not getting this, I don't understand, can you explain and educate me? We seem to be missing that middle ground.
We've always, as a society, like, found a minority and picked on them.
But it, so,
it's
so
just,
when I
it's came, there throughout history, isn't it?
I guess I remember telling my kids' school about it. They just didn't get it. Teachers did not get it. So something the BBC's doing like this can only help just to even have a conversation. Yeah. Mm. And even if you disagree with 100 or whatever, at least the conversation's been had. Mm. And that's really, really important to just challenge people's normality of kind of
so much,
male
yeah.
and female.
Well, it's also about educating people that, you know, you have a right to be whatever you want to be.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's the biggest thing. You don't need to understand what someone else feels they are and how they identify, etc. You just have to understand they're a human being too.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be different and not always agree, but you need to respect them as a human being. And that's something that we really don't do.
Our society, we're a bunch of busybodies. We interfere so much with other people's lives. We've all got an opinion. If we see somebody walking down the street and they're not wearing what we think they should wear, or something very odd, or that skirt's very short, that skirt's too long, you shouldn't be wearing that, you're too large, you know, why aren't you wearing makeup, your hair doesn't suit the shape of your face. We're judging all the time.
Well, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? And I have to say, the revelation that there was 100 was a new one to me. I've been reading through some of them. Some of them I'm very aware of. I've heard some of them many times before, and some of them I had no idea existed at all. But is this somewhere online that people can get hold of, this list of 100?
Yes, it is, but I apologise. I copied and pasted it and didn't paste the link. So,
So should we find that and put that up when we put the podcast up?
Yeah, it is
up?
Very, very easily found.
Can I tell you that under the Brolly, our podcast partners, under the umbrella, if you find their website, also their Twitter feed under the Brolly, you will find all that information.
Yeah.
In fact, they've come up with over 200 genders that they've investigated, because they've been spending a lot of time talking to people around prides, because they visit prides right across the country, and they found over 200.
Cool. Well, I think they're talking about bisexuality coming up next, aren't they?
Yeah, just like us, it's time for their podcast.
Well, no, it's not. We're having a song first, but we'll be back in a minute.
Do you want me to sing?
No,
or you've got a track?
No, I really don't. I've got a track. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Just Like Us, for LGBT young people.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, James.
What have you been up to for the last month?
I'm in Edinburgh right now. I've met up with two of my friends from Twitter, which if you go back and listen to our episode about online communities, you can hear me talk about them. Yeah, so that's been really fun. We went to like a chocolate shop yesterday. It was amazing. What about you, James?
I've been doing also. I was in New York for a bit. It's my first time in America.
Yeah, about that. Jet setter. Mm,
I went to Stonewall. I made a bit of a pilgrimage. And now I'm in France. It's a whole world jet setting situation.
And those frequent flyer miles. Mm. What are we talking about this month, James?
We are talking about bisexuality.
Yay.
It's
because it's Bisexual Awareness Month this month. And also there's Bisexual Visibility Day on the 23rd of September.
And we'll talk about bisexual visibility a bit later.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So we thought we might start off, if anyone isn't aware, with a definition of bisexuality. So you had some interesting thoughts about this.
Yeah, so the way I kind of look at it, I think gay, straight and bi are kind of the three main sexualities that everyone always knows. But if we look at just bisexuality first, it's kind of the official definition. I say that in inverted commas, but like the official definition is someone who's attracted to more than one gender, or like genders that are like the same as theirs and different. But you can have personal definitions, which I think can fall into different categories, or like some people I know just say that gender isn't a limiting factor when it comes to them being with someone, and it can kind of be that simple. And then I think another term that comes up a lot when you talk about bisexuality is also pansexuality, which I think is maybe less well known, but I know some like pan people, and like they tend to say that they're attracted to people regardless of gender. So it's kind of like what I said before about how gender just isn't a limiting factor.
Yeah. So we were going to also mention a little bit about biphobia and how it can kind of fall in line with and differ from homophobia, kind of interplays with all those sort of other.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting because biphobia can be such a unique experience, because unfortunately it can come from within the LGBT community as well as outside of it, just because some people don't really understand how you can be attracted to men and women or like other genders at the same time.
Yeah. And people often consider bisexuality, people might think it's like a stepping stone to being, you know, fully gay, in inverted commas. There's a 2013 study that I found that said 28% of bisexual people in the USA were out as LGBT to any of their friends and family versus 77% of gay men and 71% of lesbians.
Mm.
Which is just kind of like, it's an interesting point. When you're bisexual, for some people, it's easier to like be able to fit in with sort of heterosexual society. And so it's easier for many bisexual people to kind of stay in the closet because there's that kind of way of not having to do the whole thing of coming out.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
God knows there's a lot of people in the world who are convinced that, you know, being gay is a choice or whatever, but it's surprising how many people amongst even supposedly sort of liberal society think being bisexual is made up, even if they already agree that gay people exist and lesbians exist. So yeah, there's still that kind of enduring biphobia.
Yeah.
Which doesn't get as much publicity because of a lack of bi visibility. So we have some examples of bi-visibility for this bi-visibility month day. Do you want to talk about some of them?
Yeah, so I think like in terms of representation, in terms of bi-visibility, that can be really hard because I remember when I was younger watching shows, say like Orange is the New Black, where you had characters like Piper Chapman who has had relationships with men and women that were both like very significant to her, but the word bisexual was never used. But then, so that was really great when in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, we had Rosa Diaz who came out as bisexual and it was very, she was very unapologetic about it to her parents, and she like the episode was great because it dealt with a lot of different aspects of biphobia or like reactions that you could get that could be quite biphobic. And I think it dealt with like the unique struggle of like coming out as bi, I think, because in terms of like a lot of people are like, oh well, I'm okay with you being bi because you'll end up, if you're a cis woman, like you'll end up with a man or something, so like it's fine. So to have like Rosa Diaz like so unequivocally say like, this isn't a phase, I might end up with a man, I might end up with a woman, you're gonna have to deal with either situation, I thought it was like one of the best representations of bisexuality I think I've seen. So it was great.
And in real life, we also have Ryan Russell, who is, did you say the first NFL player?
I think he's definitely the first one I've heard of to come out as bisexual. So so Ryan Russell is, he's previously played for like the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he wrote a very like powerful essay for ESPN, basically saying about his entire journey with bisexuality and like what it means to him and how he's very like ready to like be out and proud about it. And it's quite like, it was quite a huge moment.
Yeah, I remember reading the statement he made and it was really, I mean, like Rosa, it was very unequivocally like, I'm bisexual, I'm not, you know, just secretly gay and I'm not just like straight and making it up.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Now we've got a story from Charlotte, one of our JLU ambassadors, who's going to talk about what it's like to be bisexual.
Hi, I'm Charlotte, I am 21 and I'm currently a student. So I think I was aware from quite a young age that LGBTQ people existed, but I definitely think there was a lack of media representation. I think if there was someone I could relate to, then I'd have probably come out a lot earlier. But unfortunately, this wasn't the case, and I just considered myself to be straight. When I first watched Titanic, I developed an absolutely enormous crush on Leo DiCaprio. I was convinced that we'd get married and then that would just be the end of that. But all of this was before I discovered Girls Aloud when I was about 12, and I became completely obsessed with Cheryl Cole. I thought that she was stunning, but I think the negative comments that I heard in primary school made me hesitant to actually admit that I fancied her quite a lot. In primary school, I'd heard people describe bisexuality as being greedy, and the thought of being criticised for being different to my peers absolutely terrified me. So whenever the thought that I might not be 100% straight crossed my mind, I'd immediately shut it off and convince myself that I could only be attracted to guys. As I went through the first couple of years of secondary school, I became aware of the fact that this sadly was just not going to happen. Then when I was 14, one of my best friends came out as gay, and this altered my perspective on so, so much. Seeing her come out suddenly made the idea of not being 100% straight okay. I didn't view her as any differently, and neither did the vast majority of other people in our school. She was confident and totally owning her identity, and all of this made the prospect of coming out a lot less scary to me. Despite this, visit being rejected by my family members for being bi led me to remaining closeted for another couple of years. So I eventually came out to a small group of friends when I was 16, and they've all been so supportive. Now I'd say that pretty much all my friends know, as well as some but not all of my family. on the whole, the response has been great. And going back to what I said about media personalities and role models, it's so encouraging to see that more and more LGBTQ identities than ever are being represented.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So, thank you very much, Charlotte. Thank you, Sarah.
I mean, as always. Thank you, James.
I'll see you next month, and hopefully in between.
Have a great month.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisteria. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That is what's that? What's that? Feel the love?
Feel the love.
Feel the love. So you're listening to Shout Out Live from the studios of BCFM in the heart of Bristol, broadcasting on several stations across the southwest and
Islands. You said heart.
The heart. Oh,
yeah. Bless. That's another station.
So from the heart of Bristol, like the centre of Bristol. Well, Easton is kind of the centre. It's near enough.
It is. I'd like to see central. You jog to the centre from here.
So, yeah, I bet you would. It's not going to happen, though. No.
And have you noticed that Bristol Centre is not really centric? It's a bit off.
Well,
it's a very odd-shaped city, actually, isn't it?
Because it was like Castle Park was the original centre, wasn't it?
It got bombed
during the war, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I think because you told me.
Thanks for a post.
I've been doing radio with you for far too long, haven't I? So, no, and in this little section, before we finish, because this is kind of like the bit towards the end of the show, we wanted to talk about the issues that have been going on around Gareth Thomas and the like, because he's had a bit of a rough time, really, hasn't he? I mean, it's horrible, the fact that... was it The Mirror? Was it The Mirror that ran the story?
I don't know which paper it was, because I do not buy newspapers for the very reason of what they've just done to Gareth Thomas. A journalist spoke to his parents about his HIV status before they had discussed it themselves. You've probably seen it got in all the television news channels. Absolutely appalling.
Get on him. He's embraced it, and he's trying to use it for, you know, a good reason by being what he's been for a long time. Yeah. Is someone that people really look up to and respect. But there's a lot of myths around it, because, you know, and there's a lot of stigma around it, and it's still going on today, despite the fact that we've had, like, major advances in the treatments and the like. And we now know things like if you're on treatment and you're undetectable, you also can't transmit it to anyone.
Right.
And of course, when you read a lot of things that go on and the things that people say, it's around the fear of, you know, if I'm in the same room as someone, I might catch it, and silly things like that, which is just not true.
No, what is very interesting is that Angela Phillips, who's professor of journalism at Goldsmiths University in London, she gave evidence to the Leveson Inquiry into media ethics around this. She told BBC Radio 5 Live, "We've now got ourselves into a situation in this country where our tabloid press, partly because of the internet and social media and the way which stories now travel, is that anything that brings in money is justifiable." Now, I hope Queen and Country is a lot better than that, James.
Yes, we try and be a bit more kind of...
It's not difficult to be better than that, really, is
no,
it?
It's
I mean,
not.
That is kind of like lowest of the low. It really is sensationalising a story to make money. And
absolutely. You know.
Is it the kind of thing you think that they should be able to, like, prosecute someone that runs a news story like that? Because they effectively outed the guy to his family and the media.
Yeah.
And it was something that's private to him. I mean, surely it shouldn't be allowed.
Absolutely. It was almost like a double whammy. I mean, it really unfair on the guy. And I just think the fact that so many kind of press sort of platforms have picked it up just kind of puts a real weight on the story that this is unacceptable behaviour. And I think we've all got to pull together to try and sort of get that get news to a sort of a better place in terms of how we go about getting these stories. And
I don't think the press want that, though. They're just out for the money, because the Mail, the Sun, all those papers, and the Bristol Post as well, they're all in the gutter. They produce some appalling headlines, which is nothing but clickbait.
Absolutely, and it's been going on for a very long time. I mean, a good book published in the 1990s is called Media Watch, written by Terry Sanderson, who was for many years the media columnist for Gay Times. And I mean, anyone, I think perhaps who's coming out now, and if they can turn up a copy on eBay or something, it's worth having a look at, because...
By the 1990s, the
behaviour of the tabloid papers during the 80s and 90s towards the gay and lesbian communities, I mean, that's what it was called in those days, you know, there was very little awareness of trans communities and non-binary and so on.
Well, they used to threaten to out MPs, didn't they? And then an MP would say, I'm gay, and I'm going to step down from my job.
And more recently, I mean, both Will Young and the late Stephen Gately were pressurised by newspapers to come out before they were prepared to. And yet, when gay activists used outing to sort of out homophobic politicians that were secretly having gay affairs, the tabloids turned on the gay activists. It was total double standards, you see, that was being employed. And as James, you know, both Steffi and James have said, you know, the tabloid papers are in it for the money. I mean, we have free speech in this country, total free speech in terms of the printed word. It's very difficult to prosecute people for, you know, you need to be really obscene to get a prosecution
Do you think the way, because they're doing things like that, do you think that's why there's a decline in readership of papers?
Well, it's interesting, you know, I mean, Elton John, they used to gun for him during the 1980s, but again, before he was officially out, you know, there were stories run about Elton's private life in The Sun particularly, and the sales of The Sun when they ran Elton stories always, you know, always went down, so people were aware, you know, what they were like.
Well, I have to say, hats off to you, Gareth. I think you handled it really well, and it's lovely to have you as a role model. So, anyway, that's it for this week, I'm afraid. Apologies for the disruption on our website. It is now back up and running, in case you want to go check it out.
You can catch up with the podcast versions of the show.
Head over to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout is produced by myself, Steph Barnett. Presenters this week, Andy Shilton and Steffi Barnett.
Shoutout is proudly made at BCFM.
Join us next week, same time, same channels.
But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.